This morning, I would like to address the subject of a way to heal divisions in the church. I'm not talking about this church, but I'm not excluding this church. I'm talking about the Bride of Christ, the church universal. I'm talking about the Methodist Church, the United Methodist Church. Now, I have a quiz for you. Can you tell me what was the first split disagreement in the church all about? I'm talking about after the resurrection. Can you tell me what it was over? It had to do with food. It had to do with food. The early church, I'm going to give you a little bit of a history, right? The early church worshipped on Saturday because most of them were Jews, and then worshipped again on Sunday because of the resurrection. The church originated in Jerusalem, and the first Christians were, of course, many of them, most of them were Jews. They believed in Jesus and worshipped like Jesus, who was a Jew. As the church grew and expanded, it expanded to places like Antioch, which is in Syria, Corinth, which is in Greece, Ephesus, which is in present-day Turkey, and Rome, which is, of course, in Italy. Jerusalem church was pretty literal in their interpretation of the law. As Christians, they were pretty literal in their interpretation of the law, which meant that they could only eat kosher food, right? They could only eat kosher food. However, as the church began to grow and as it expanded, okay, non-Jewish Christians didn't get the food anxiety, right? They didn't get the food, kosher food laws. So the non-Jewish Christians didn't get that, and the Jerusalem church was on them for it, right? Mainly led by the disciple Peter. And so the church began to have its disagreements. Enter this morning's scripture passage that Terry Wade read for us this morning. Let's talk about some of the faces, the names, and things like that in that scripture passage. That passage mentions a person by the name of Chloe. Little is known about Chloe's household. It's not about Chloe, it's about Chloe's household. And it could have been very well people who were servants, who were slaves of Chloe, that were members of the early church. Apollos. Apollos was an Alexandrian convert. Alexandria was in Egypt, and he was converted over to the Jewish faith. He was schooled in rhetoric, and rhetoric is a special way, a particular way of entering into persuasive speech and even debate. He was also schooled in biblical text, so he was schooled in the Old Testament. He studied the scriptures, and he proved to be an effective co-worker with Paul. Paul defines him as a fellow servant for the cause of Christ. Little is known about Crispus and Gaius. They were two of the Corinthians church early converts, and Paul remembers baptizing Crispus and Gaius. Crispus, by the way, was a synagogue official. He was Jewish, right? He was a synagogue official who was converted over to Christianity and baptized along with his household. And little is known of Gaius and Stephanus, but they are mentioned in Scripture, and it's worthy taking note of them. Most of the growth in the early church were not Jews but Gentiles. And because of the growth in the church, four main controversies surfaced. And the reason that these controversies surfaced was because many of the converts brought their own religion into the understanding of the Christian faith. So, the first one was Docetism. Docetism is defined that Jesus wasn't real. You could see him, but there's no record of people touching him in Scripture according to the Docetist. And we do have a woman touching Jesus' hem of his cloak, but that was his cloak. The person of Jesus didn't really exist. A way to be able to think about Docetism is Jesus was a hologram of sorts. Gnosticism. Gnosticism was a huge, huge movement, a heresy. And it went against that Jesus and God were one. In other words, they were pretty literal in their understanding of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So, Jesus and God were not one in terms of mystery. Marcionism was started by a man by the name of Marcion, and he taught that Jesus is the Savior of the world and Paul is his apostle, but that the God of the Old Testament was evil, right, and rejected the God of the Old Testament. And I think that there are a lot of people today that could be classified as Marcionist, right? Jesus' Bible was the Old Testament, right? Jesus' Bible was the Old Testament, and there's a lot of good, there's a lot of healthy, wonderful, beautiful teachings in the Old Testament. So there we have Marcionism. And then the Ebionites. Ebion is a Hebrew word which has to do with poor ones. So the Ebionites committed themselves to poverty. And they regarded Jesus, the Messiah, but they just saw Jesus as a human being. They didn't see Jesus as divine, as in the Son of God. Now, there were a lot of controversies in between the early church, but we can't go through them all, right? And the purpose isn't to go through them all. So I want to jump to 1054. It was a huge schism, a huge breakup. The Roman Catholic Church was known as the Church of the West, and the Eastern Orthodox Church was known as the Church of the East. And like the early church, they divided over food. They had a debate as to whether to use leavened bread or unleavened bread for communion. So the bread that we have has yeast in it, right? So it rises, it's leavened, right? Tortillas are unleavened bread, right? That's unleavened bread. So church argued about whether to use leavened or unleavened bread, and they also debated about the source. Where did the Holy Spirit come from? So this is how it divided. And between the years of 1436 and 1536, there were four major events in Europe that changed everything. To us, 100 years may seem a lot. Back in Europe, they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have internet, they didn't have newspaper. Most of the people were illiterate, right? They didn't have the kind of newspapers that would go that we have. So 100 years to them was not much. In 1436, Johannes Gutenberg invented the Gutenberg press. It was the first printing press ever, okay? This meant that people could have their own Bibles, and this increased literacy. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue and discovered the New World. I can't underscore how monumental that was. It would be like discovering a planet on the other side of the moon that we just happened to miss, and that there's people on there, right, that eat food, and that we might even procreate with them. We might even marry them, and they might even believe in Jesus like we believe in Jesus. It was huge, okay? So 1436, the press, 1492, Columbus discovered the New World. In 1517, Martin Luther birthed the Protestant Reformation, which meant that it challenged the Roman Catholic Church. And the Roman Catholic Church had become pretty corrupt by this time. And what the Roman Catholic Church did is that it sold indulgences. Indulgences were, if you contributed money to the building of St. Peter's Basilica, then all your sins, past, present, and future, could be forgiven.
Wow.
What a deal, right? I like that, you know? I like that. So Martin Luther said, that's ridiculous, you know? How can you say that? So he nailed 95 arguments on a door in Wittenberg, Germany, and he argued against those. And so the Protestant Reformation was already gaining momentum, and it was in Switzerland, Spain, and Germany that momentum was gathering. So it was huge. It was huge, a lot of pushback. And so the Protestant Reformation, the root word for Protestant is protest, and so we live up to that, right? We live up to that word. We protest, right? And in 1536, Henry VIII broke from the Catholic Church to start the Church of England for a multitude of reasons. Not all of the breaks were bad. Not all of them were bad. John Wesley started the Methodist movement and ordained some people to start the church in England, in Americas. After the Revolutionary War, there were no pastors, there were no priests to do Holy Communion and baptism. So what John Wesley said, that's unacceptable. John Wesley died an Anglican priest. He did not die a Methodist. He died an Anglican priest, and so he ordained Methodists to come to America and bless people's life. So in 1860, a Methodist pastor by the name of William Booth started the Salvation Army. In 1902, a Methodist pastor by the name of Edgar Helms started Goodwill. Isn't that cool? I love that. All right? There were all a lot of other different breakups, heavy, hard dissensions having to do with the Civil War. No Christian denomination in America was unaffected. There was the Methodist Church North, and there was the Methodist Church South. And we all can remember some of that history that's around here. Back to the scripture passage this morning. Paul starts off with verse 10, and I'll read it for you again. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement. I know that we like to pick and choose our scripture passages, but this is pretty powerful. We glance over this one. But I want to talk about this, that all of us be in agreement, okay? And that there be no divisions among you. Did you hear that? The slip by? That there be no divisions among you. And that you be united? No way, Paul. Get out of here. That you be united in the same mind. There's no way we can have the same mind. And the same purpose. What was Paul talking about? What was Paul talking about? He was talking about the cross. That in order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we must be united around the cross and around the resurrected power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What makes us a Christian is the cross and our surrender to the resurrected power of Jesus Christ that is able to overcome all things. All things. Now, we have different ways of looking at the world, right? It's obvious. I can't think like you and you can't think like me. That's not what Paul is saying. What Paul is saying is that if we do not gather around the cross and around the resurrected power of our Lord Jesus Christ, then there's going to be divisions, always, even when there are differences that we have. So how do we deal with this? I love to eat, right? I really do. And I love the restaurants in Mason, Texas, which are all good. Don't ask me which one is my favorite because I'm going to get somebody mad. Actually, it's 504 Lindbergh. That's my favorite place because I eat there the most, right? How do we overcome these things? How do we gather around the cross and claim the resurrected power of Jesus Christ in our life? I think we need to go back to why there was the first major dissension, splinter, breakup in the church. And the subject for that was food. Our altar represents what? Can you tell me what that altar represents? It represents a table. And there's food on it. I'm not going to agree with you, and you're not going to agree with me, and that's okay. What's real important is for us to be united around the cross for the purposes of Christ. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do this week. If you can't do it this week, do it sometime soon. If you're having a hard time going there, then start to go there in that direction. Because I'm going to invite you to do this. I'm going to ask you to identify with somebody that isn't like you, who is a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I want you to eat bread with them. I want you to eat with them. I want you to give them a call, okay? I want you to give them a call, and I want you to say, well, let's have a cup of coffee, let's go out to breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and you don't have to talk about those issues that you disagree with. But talk about one thing and one thing only. Who is Jesus to you? And you share with them, who is Jesus to me? Let me tell you how this is going to take place in our church. Last Thursday, I had breakfast with Tim Farenthold, the pastor at at Ark United Methodist Church, and with Mike Bell, the pastor at the Hilda United Methodist Church. And we met at Nacho's, and we had breakfast. And so I put forth this idea, and it's got traction. And I understand that this has never been done before, because I've done my homework. And correct me if I'm wrong. I'd love to hear this. On a designated day, before General Conference, when we all go to vote, related to those issues that is going to cause a breakup in our church, the United Methodist Church, that we're going to have a worship service for all three churches. And it's going to be here. All right? And there's going to be no preaching, but there's going to be testimonies from people, from children, from youth, from seniors, about what the church, who the Lord means, what the Lord means to them. We're going to sing a bunch of hymns. The Art has their men's choir. Hilda has some people, and we have some folks. And we're going to have a wonderful worship service together. And guess what we're going to do afterwards? We're going to eat. And this is going to become a new tradition for us. Because even though we may divorce, we're not going to leave room for the devil to come into our hearts. And we're going to be united, being of one mind and one purpose, that there be no divisions among us, that we may call the purposes of Christ to be in our lives for the work of Christ in this community and in the world. Now, after I made that invitation, I think some of you may have thought about somebody that you might call this week. I think that's the Holy Spirit knocking on your heart. Follow that lead. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.